It's wide. Look around, right? Like Donovan Mitchell's on one leg. Serge Ibaka's out for the rest of the playoffs, and the Clippers are still the Clippers. You look over in the East. God knows when Kyrie's going to be back. Harden's going to give it a go today, but I'm going to tell you, hamstrings don't work like that where you just kind of shake it off. And then Milwaukee, you know, I guess they're the healthiest of the remaining teams other than Phoenix, but, you know, they've had their bouts of kind of weakness or fragility in these playoffs. So this right now, this might be the most confident the Phoenix Suns have been about winning a championship since 2007, maybe?
That was roughly 24 hours ago. Amino Hassan talking about how wide open the path was for the Phoenix Suns to capture their first ever NBA title.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's NBA playoffs, because it's a roller coaster ride, we've had seismic shifts with a couple of teams that were mentioned in that particular soundbite. Of course, the Los Angeles Clippers with the Kawhi Leonard potential news. And you and I both think the same way. If Sham Sharani is putting it out there that the Clippers fear it's an ACL injury.
It's an ACL injury.
It sounds like worst case scenario
for
them.
It does. It really, really does. And it's a terrible break for them. And again, it's just sort of like what everyone has said. I mean, we talked to Amin about this yesterday, and it's everyone always talks, they're the Clippers. Something Clipper-like is going to happen to them. Unfortunately, we feel the same way for different reasons, that something always bad is going to happen to us. But the Clippers have quite the legacy of that as well. And so that's a terrible break for them. I don't think they get over the Jazz without Kawhi Leonard. What really bothers me the most about it is that if that thing ends in six, then that means the Phoenix Suns are going to be pressed into action on Sunday, okay? Which means if Chris Paul was still in his own mind, if game one on Tuesday was still kind of in jeopardy, the big worry is missing two games. I don't feel as strongly as you and Gambo do about you can't squander one game against one of these teams. I think you can. I think if you open on the road in Salt Lake City and you do not have Chris Paul and you do not play well and you do not win, you're just down 0-1 on the road. Now, is it ideal? Absolutely not. Now, missing two games, that's another matter. That's another matter entirely. So we're going to be gripping until we get positive news, and let's just hope that Chris Paul is indeed vaccinated, as has been definitively reported by some, alluded to by others, and let's hope that the antibodies in his body will do their job very quickly. That's what I'm hoping for.
But, you know, bigger picture, we entered this season, we entered this postseason knowing what the storyline was with Chris Paul in the postseason. It's kind of like Lemony Snicket, a series of unfortunate events. He's already had two now in this postseason. The shoulder in game one against the Lakers, which affected him in the first round, overcame that to have a dominant, brilliant series against Denver. Now you get the positive COVID test, maybe missing some time. Mark J. Spears, who's a senior writer for The Undefeated, he was on with Doug and Wolf today, and he talked about just that latest unfortunate event.
Man, I mean, it's just with Chris. Unfortunately, there always seems to be some nightmare that comes his way. And hopefully this is just one, like, quick bad dream. But just when you think he's in the clear and everything should, and he's finally going to get his healthy way to potentially get into the finals, something like this happens.
Yeah, J. Kyle Mann, he works for The Ringer, he tweeted out in response to Sham Sharania breaking the news 5 hours ago, CP3's career is turning into some kind of Old Testament story of hardship at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the latest in what needs to be overcome for Chris Paul to get to the top of the mountain, for the Phoenix Suns to get to the top of the mountain.
Okay, so,
and I want to go back to your earlier question. You know, not necessarily the question about can the Suns afford to drop a game in a series because they don't have Chris Paul. I feel fairly confident that they won't have Chris Paul for game one of that series. Let's look at the other alternatives. Can the Suns win a Western Conference playoff game without Chris Paul right now?
It's a good question. I don't know. I really don't know if they can beat the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City without Chris Paul. The trick, of course, would be somehow, some way, stay close and hope you get the breaks and the shots at the end of the game. So is it doable? Yes, it's doable.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm digging their chances given the environment. I think that that environment is going to be the first time the Phoenix Suns face a hostile crowd the way that they've been laying hostile crowds on other people.
Sure.
And that is exactly the kind of scenario that you need Chris Paul in to calm everyone down. So it's possible, yes. Am I hopeful of it? No, I'm not.
Well, and if you look at all the other examples and their potential opponent in the Western Conference Finals, Utah has played this entire series without Mike Conley Jr. He was an all-star point guard. They've overcome that. They're 2-2 now, and with this latest turn, I think most people would say that they're favored to advance to the Western Conference Final. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend Mike Conley's a tremendous player and very important to that team. Is he as important as what Chris Paul brings to the Suns? I would say no. Chris Paul was a top five MVP vote getter. He was all NBA second team as announced yesterday. I would assume, again, and putting the cart way before the horse here, but taking a look at potentially what could happen, you'd see a Cameron Payne in the starting lineup for the Suns. And I think Monty Williams, based on how he handled personnel in the Lakers series, Bic, mm-hmm. I think Etuan Moore would be the first guard off the bench.
Yeah, that's not a bad – I think given what we've seen so far in the postseason, that's probably where he's going to turn. And again, he's a good basketball player. He really is. And I think the Suns have the requisite talent and the depth to survive something like this. It's just they don't know – a big story of this postseason has been the Phoenix Suns fans and their reawakening, if you will, and the effect that they've had on games and their own team and their opponent. Same thing in Salt Lake City. That crowd is deafening. They're nuts. They're into every minute. I just think Chris Paul has to be around for that. But we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah, that was also a question for Mark J. Spears this morning with Doug and Wolf on if Chris Paul can't go, how do you think the Suns would fare?
I mean, but this is a different level, you know? I mean, like, you're getting the Jazz or the Clippers next, and looks like Mike Conley's getting healthy. You just don't want to be on that level without him in any game. So... hey, you could get by in the regular season, but in the postseason, man, you need everybody available. And he is he was an All-NBA player for a reason, man. He's the rudder of the ship. He's the captain. He's the biggest brains on the court.
Yeah, I think when this all ends, for whatever team is holding up that Larry O'Brien trophy, they're going to have a lot of stories to tell about what they overcame in the postseason.
Yeah, you know.
And the Suns are in that group, too.
Well, and I think every team, like the Lakers or other teams that get eliminated that have alibis, they're all just going to write the season off. They're all going to go, yeah. You know what? Everyone got hurt. That was a fluke year.
I think we saw that to an extent in the last series with Denver, too.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray's injury was not a factor against Portland, but it was a factor against Phoenix.
It certainly was. Right. That's exactly right. And I think it's very easy for teams to go, hey. But again, the team that wins a championship doesn't have to give it back, and they don't have to print an asterisk on the championship trophy.
No, they never do.
Nope.
They'll never take it away from you.
Nope.
It's not like it's the NCAA and you can get investigated and have championships vacated.
Right.
Once it's yours, it's there forever. I want to play another one from yesterday. We had Amin El-Hassan on from SiriusXM NBA Radio and also Meadowlark Media, and I asked him about one concern. If there's one concern for the Suns, what is it? Again, keep in mind, this was less than 24 hours ago.
I mean, just Chris Paul's health, that shoulder. And that's the kind of injury where it can feel better and he'll be all right, and then he gets clipped on the screen. And something that regularly he'd brush off, but because it's tender, the pain kind of re-aggravates and then he's back to kind of playing on one arm. I think that's the one thing I'd be concerned about. But they played incredibly hard through these two series. They played with great poise. DeAndre Ayton, who we've talked about all year long, is kind of being up and down, has been so consistent. And I just want to take this opportunity to point out to all the Suns fans, for the last 10 years. Every time I come on, oh, all he does is hate on the Suns. I don't know why you guys have him on. Oh, he's a hater. He's a salty. I've been consistent. When the team is good, I'll say good things about it. But you guys are mad that I was saying bad things about a bad team. Well, guess what? The team's good. Now we're talking good about him. Congratulations. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Obviously, want to focus on the first part of that about, you know, the concern Chris Paul's health for far different reasons, and he's exactly right. Go back to even coming out of game one, you had this feeling of exhilaration if you're a Suns fan. They won game one, first playoff game in 11 years. Go back in time. Did you feel great about that series, knowing what you knew or what you saw from Chris Paul for the rest of game one? I didn't think they were going to win that series at that point.
No, I did not. I did not.
But that, again, is just an indication of all the twists and turns.
Yeah.
And this thing's not done twisting and turning.
No, that there's the truth of it. I would really like to, as we learn more, hopefully we will learn more about this. It bothers me that the NBA has these protocols in place that if a player has been vaccinated and he's asymptomatic and his teammates have been vaccinated, and you heard Gambo say the Suns have the highest vaccination rate of any team in the NBA.
Yes.
If all of that is true, then why can't Chris Paul play basketball when you're letting 19,000 people come and pay money to watch these games? So you'll take money from people, yet you have this, what some people call theater going on. Now, again, this is a gross generalization, but I that to me is what strikes me as unfair. Now, if Chris Paul is symptomatic, it's an entirely different story, entirely different matter. And then you worry about his health and you want him to feel good. But I'm saying if he's one of these guys who was vaccinated early and caught a variant of COVID-19 and is completely asymptomatic because the antibodies in his body are doing their job, what are we doing? Why are you letting people in these stadiums then to possibly contaminate these playoffs?
Look, and I know it was a different circumstance altogether from what we learned of it, but go back to the first round where the NBA actually came out and had to make a statement on LeBron James violating COVID protocol. But because, fully vaccinated, or it wasn't even known that if he was fully vaccinated, but, there was no penalty involved.
No.
Now, this is different because it's a positive test, and we've learned that in the hours since. But, yeah, I think the NBA and other sports organizations have tried to be as flexible with this. But I think when you have that level of stringent protocols in place, for good reason, by the way, at a certain time, it's really hard to zig with that. When something goes haywire, I think you're asking a valid question. I think the people that are asking that question are asking a valid question.
Yeah, I just, because again, there's a lot on the line here, and cities are going on these journeys with their basketball team, none more profoundly than ours. And this just strikes me as really being just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
Of course, you can't be around the team under the current protocols. Malika Andrews on Get Up this morning from ESPN talked about the level of separation that CP3 will have.
At least physically. But for one thing we know for certain, right? It's a good thing we have cell phones. It's a good thing we have FaceTime. It's a good thing we're able to make phone calls and send texts, because you have to believe that that's someone, Chris Paul is someone who's going to be radioing in all of these different ways. But yes, in terms of the league's health and safety protocols, they have evolved, obviously, as the coronavirus has evolved in this country, the way we treat it, the way that vaccinations have impacted it. But physically, yes, there does need to be a separation still under the league's current health and safety protocol guidelines.
Now, remember what Chris Paul himself said in the aftermath of the Game 4 win Sunday in Denver.
We're just going to keep playing hard. You know, you never know what the future holds. We're going to keep playing hard. Now we're going to get some rest, some much-needed rest. But it's special, man. And these fans, we thank y'all so much, man. Seriously. Got my moms and pops here, my older brother. It's all love.
Yeah, focusing on the rest part of that, it's even more rest than what Chris Paul bargained for at this point. He didn't even have to go to practice.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
And I want to play one other soundbite from you again. Jalen Rose this morning on Get Up on ESPN kind of compared the Chris Paul situation to the looming news potentially in Los Angeles with the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard.
Unlike Kawhi, this one isn't doom and gloom for me. because they're off this week. He's already been vaccinated. And I know the word indefinitely makes you feel like he may not be in the next series. I don't anticipate him missing more than one game at the most, just based on the dynamics of time and how the protocol has worked. However, has there been a guy that's an all-time great player that just gets unlucky at the wrong time, like Chris Paul? I saw it happen at different stops at every point in his career. It seems like he plays all NBA basketball, then he gets hurt. Then Blake Griffin gets hurt. And then the team misses 27 straight threes. It's always something dubious, unfortunately, for Chris Paul when his teams don't advance in the playoffs. But I think he returns for this series, Greeny. I think his leadership is going to be paramount in the next series. So don't anticipate him not playing. I know the word indefinitely is going to scare everybody, as it should. But I anticipate Chris Paul will find a way to be available for the next series.
Look at that, Jalen Rose finding a silver lining. Indefinite does scare people.
Yeah,
but
it
that
does.
Just means it can't be defined right now.
That's all. That's a very, very good point. And it's and I think that that is what we have to realize here as sports fans. When you're listening to us right now, this city has developed such an affinity for this basketball team and this journey that hearing this news just it's disorienting. It's depressing. It makes you feel like, all right, so now we're going to have to worry about this for the next amount of days. Exactly what you said is true. Indefinitely means there's a lack of information, that it's doesn't spell the end of anything. It just feels like more stupid luck for Phoenix, and more to the point, more stupid luck for Chris Paul, who's had a ton of it throughout the course of his career.
It is unfortunate. But, I mean, again, far be it from me on a normal basis to be the guy searching for little nuggets of good news. But consider the timing of this. You know, what Gambo put out there, what others have put out there, that the positive test came through on Monday, that was already 2 days ago. And that doesn't necessarily spell that, you know, Chris Paul will be available for game one. But as a coaching staff, Monty Williams and his staff, by the way, they've been brilliant in the postseason, in my opinion. Now the focus changes a little bit. With all this time off, your goal is now to find a way to engineer a win, regardless of the opponent, regardless of the location, to find a win in game one without having Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And they've got enough time to devise that plan and come up with something.
Okay, and if you want more silver linings, consider this. If this positive test happened Monday, good thing the Suns won in four.
Yes. We talked about just from a regular rest standpoint how big that would be.
Yeah.
It's even more paramount now. It's not the only big story happening locally. Another big story starting to bubble up with ASU football. We'll talk to Doug Haller about it in the 1 o'clock hour. He wrote about it on The Athletic today. His story reads, the NCAA is investigating whether the Arizona State football program hosted high school prospects during the recent COVID-19 dead period and possibly other recruiting violations, The Athletic has learned. It's unknown how many prospects ASU is alleged to have entertained during the COVID-19 period or when they might have visited. Per one source, the school's athletic compliance office recently started interviewing staff members. A former athletic department employee said some people in the football offices are concerned about losing their jobs. There's been further, that's what we have on an official standpoint, and there has been verification from the Arizona State Athletic Department that that indeed is going on in terms of investigation. There's been other speculation. Some people have thrown out that maybe they've been accused of paying players, other recruiting violations. I think it was George Reister, who's a former Oregon football player, now does a podcast, Pac-12 podcasts. He termed it, you know, allegations or violations that have the current coaching staff worried about whether or not they can do their jobs this season. So there's nothing concrete right now. Obviously, it's concerning. But if you believe, you know, the suggestions that are out there, this could be devastating to the ASU program.
Yes, it could. And a lot of questions because, first of all, if this really is the deal and you're hosting recruiting parties during a COVID-19 blackout or whatever it is, that's just derelict. I mean, how do you expect to get away with that?
Look, I'm sure it happens again.
Okay.
We had a lot of these discussions. Is it right? No. There's a dead period for a reason, whether it's COVID-19 or not. There's dead periods in recruiting that you are not supposed to conduct your recruiting business. But again, the tendency here in the state of Arizona now, when this is starting, is to compare the Arizona basketball situation to this. A, it's apples and oranges. B, it's way too early to make those.
Oh, I know.
But
yeah,
we had those discussions. Arizona was maybe unfairly held to a different standard because of the level of investigation that was going on. We both said it during the course of those conversations. This happens all the time.
Yeah,
am I condoning it?
Right.
No. Is it potentially a black mark, a speed bump, whatever you want to call it? Yeah. ASU has had a lot of recruiting success over the last 3 years.
Well, yes, they have. And so and in regards to that, then they probably have created a lot of enemies in Southern California, and people are probably looking to drop dime on them.
Sure.
And so keep that in mind. I go back to this George Reister guy that you alerted me to. And earlier in the week, he was tweeting some very ominous things that were going to topple and change the balance of power for West Coast football. And I had no idea what he was talking about. He's kind of doubled down on the report in The Athletic today and said this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's paying players. There's this.
Yeah.
There's that. You're right. This is the stuff that happens everywhere. I mean, it just does. And you're being naive if you think it doesn't.
Yeah. But, I mean, the ominous tone of those tweets earlier in the week that you referred to, Bick, and you know me a long time. I'm a Sun Devil.
Mm-hmm.
I root for the program. I'll always root for the program. But if ASU football gets toppled, is that changing the power balance of West Coast football?
No, of course it's not.
with all of the inroads they've made in recruiting, and everybody's excited about it, and it's always this very optimistic tone in terms of trajectory with the program. At some point, it has to translate to wins and championships, and it hasn't.
Yeah, right. That's the old adage that we used to always make fun of Sean Miller for. If you're going to cheat, at least cheat well. Win.
Yes.
Right? You know? Because if there's no records to vacate, what's the point?
Again, credit to the Houston Astros. They cheated and they won.
Uh-huh.
That's the way you do it.
I can't go there, but yes, I appreciate the sentiment. Yeah, I look at it and I think, man, if all of this is true and it's coming down, that's gonna be hard on Herm Edwards' image, because Herm had such a great thing going in terms of his vibe, in terms of the way people spoke of him. He was like the antidote to all of these jerk face coaches in college football.
Uh-huh. And that on itself would be just disappointing.
Yes.
Because I felt the same way.
Yep.
Hey, these guys are working hard and doing it right. And maybe that's not the case. Again, I believe the George Reister tweet that what we know now is just the tip of the iceberg, and it might amount to nothing, but there's going to be a lot more information to come out. And we'll get some of that information from Doug Howler. He'll join us at 1:15 today. But joining us next, we'll continue to talk NBA playoffs. Can the Suns overcome the potential loss of Chris Paul for a game, even in the Western Conference Finals? We'll discuss that and more with Dave Pasch next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wednesday edition of Bickley and Murata, live from the Octane Community Studios. The Phoenix Suns, within the last 10 minutes or so, did put out an email. Phoenix Suns guard Chris Paul is currently out due to health and safety protocols. The next update on his status will be provided on Saturday, June 19th, which could potentially be back the day before the Western Conference Finals get underway. We don't know at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I would really like if the Clippers could find a way to win one of these next couple of games somehow, some way, without Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
I don't know if that's possible. Who knows?
Yeah.
You never know.
Here to talk NBA basketball with us. He's a broadcaster for ESPN, also play-by-play voice of the Arizona Cardinals. Dave Pasch checks in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Dave, how are you today, sir?
Hey, good, guys. What's going on?
We got a lot to talk about, obviously. I'll start here, just kind of plant the seed. Bick and I have talked about it, and obviously more so today, but do you remember an NBA postseason that's had this many drastic twists and turns in terms of injury and health and all things considered?
No, I can't. I mean, look, it was you know, last year being down in the bubble for part of the playoffs, I had a game that was postponed, a playoff game that was postponed because of the shooting that took place in Kenosha, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the Bucks, along with other teams, you know, deciding not to play. Obviously, that was something that we had not seen before. And just the fact that we are in a bubble for the playoffs was very strange. And so maybe it's because this year we're somewhat back to normal in terms of playoffs with fans and, you know, games being played on the road that we kind of, I don't know, have forgotten. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. It just it feels very strange. I mean, especially if you're a Suns fan, you go from thinking when you're down 2-1 to the Lakers and Chris Paul's hurt to, you know, maybe this is – you know, it was a great regular season, guys, but wow, we ran into a bad matchup and Chris Paul got hurt. It's mm-hmm. just not meant to be. To, you know, 2 days ago thinking, my goodness, the Suns, they could win it all.
Yeah.
And then you wake up this morning and find out that Chris Paul, you know, could be out for a week to 2 weeks, and you're like, what? So, yes, it's to answer your question, Vince, I can't remember.
All right, yeah. So let's talk about the Chris Paul thing. What does this just feel like dumb, stupid luck to you? Does it feel like... I don't know. I just want your thoughts on how what this makes you feel like and how the Suns are going to deal with this.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we don't know the circumstances surrounding what happened and when it happened and how it happened. So obviously I don't want to speculate on that. But I think there is a benefit to the fact that this Jazz Clippers series is going along. You know, we know it's going at least six. To your point, for if you're – you know, on the Suns, you would hope that the Clippers could force a game seven, you know, or Utah force a game seven. I'm just assuming the Clippers are going to lose in Utah without Kawhi Leonard. It's, you know, hopefully he's back for part of the series, or maybe, you know, you get him back for all of it. If you get a couple negative tests, maybe this all works out the way the postseason is gone. Hopefully, you know, we'll have another twist and turn, and he'll be good to go.
Yep. Dave Pasch, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I made the point to Bick earlier, you know, in a situation like this, you try to search for silver linings. And with the way the Suns coaching staff has been this year and certainly in the postseason, to find this out Monday, Tuesday, and they've known longer than the rest of the world has known on this positive test, the charge for them now, Dave, becomes try to figure out a way to win game one without Chris Paul. And I don't think that's necessarily an impossibility at this point. Do you?
No, I think it'll be interesting. I always feel like, you know, the more time you have off in a playoff series,
uh-huh.
if you have really injured players, obviously the better. But if you're healthy, I mean, it's really hard to have as much time off as the Suns are faced with. And then, you know, find that playoff intensity again, especially if you're on the road in Utah and you got to deal with the elevation. You have to deal with that crowd. It's a little bit different if you're home, you walk back into the building, the place is going nuts, and all of a sudden, boom, you're ready to go. Maybe even takes you, you know, a few minutes into the game. But I think on the road it would be tougher. And obviously, if the Clippers win, you're going to be hosting game one. If the Jazz win, you're going to be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But, look, this is a really good staff. They've done an excellent job. Campaign has really stepped up. So, you know, you find a way. You know, who knows Mike Conley's health situation? What if the Clippers somehow win this series? Now you're playing a Clipper team without Kawhi Leonard game one. So there's still so much. I mean, Donovan Mitchell isn't 100%. There's still so much that can happen between now and game one.
I'm curious, how does the NBA reconcile the fact that, say, presumably Chris Paul is asymptomatic and has been vaccinated, yet can't play in a pivotal playoff game when they're selling 19,000 tickets to and filling buildings for these games? How do you reconcile those two things?
Yeah, guys, I mean, it's been such – I think you're for these leagues, professional leagues and universities. I mean, just the fact that we were able to get in a season last year, get closer to normal this year, I think all in all, they've done a pretty good job. They've got to protect the players, and, you know, sometimes you have a case where, you know, somebody tests positive and then, you know, there's a couple negative tests and he's good to go, but he can't come back. I think it was Dennis Schroeder. We had a Laker game, I want to say 2 or 3 months ago, where he told us, you know, that he was fine and he had tested negative, but because of the rules, he couldn't come back and he had to miss a couple extra games. Obviously, it wasn't playoffs. But, I mean, it's not like they can tweak the rules now. You just kind of got to get through the year, and I'm sure there'll be new rules in place for next season.
Yeah, Dave Pasch, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. As a basketball fan, especially in the playoffs, when you sit back and you watch these masterful performances, and we saw one from Chris Paul on Sunday, I wanted to get your reaction to what Kevin Durant did last night in Brooklyn, because that was just one of those ones you sit back with your jaw agape and you just watch in enjoyment. What was your reaction to that, Dave?
You know, guys, I go back to I did the McDonald's All-America game the year Kevin Durant and Greg Oden played in it.
Wow.
And Greg Oden got hurt in that game, hurt his wrist. Shocker. you know, Kevin Durant, I remember watching him thinking, my goodness, this guy can score. Like, I don't know if I've seen many guys like him that can score. But, you know, he's 6'9", he was skinny. I did several of his games at Texas, including a game against Bob Knight in Texas Tech, where he had 37 points and 23 rebounds. And again, you're like, oh my goodness, this dude. So, I mean, I feel like I've seen him. I saw him in, you know, Oklahoma City for all those years, Golden uh-huh. State. Now, I mean, I feel like I've kind of followed this guy and called every game at every stage of his career. I mean, he's one of the best scorers in the history of the game. To come off the injury that he had to and do what he's doing right now, it's remarkable. I mean, the guy is phenomenal, and he's grown. I mean, he's not listed at 7 feet, but he's right there. I mean, if you stand next to him, he's as close to 7 feet, if not above. His ability to score, his shooting touch, he's one of the greatest we've ever seen.
All right, as it relates to the Phoenix Suns, do you think the Clippers have a chance to beat the Jazz without Kawhi Leonard to get that series extended to buy Chris Paul some time?
I lean towards no. Here's the thing. You know, Paul George is certainly capable. For whatever reason, the last, you know, couple opportunities in the playoffs, even going back before the bubble, you know, when he talked about, you know, dealing with depression last year and the fact that, you know, he was struggling being away from family and friends and being in the bubble. Even in Oklahoma City, he had some struggles in the playoffs. In Indiana, when they were playing Miami, I mean, this is how he came onto the scene. He kept the Pacers in those series in the uh-huh. conference finals with the Heat when LeBron and Wade and Bosch were there. He's certainly capable. We just haven't seen it. But now that he's the guy, you know, I wonder, how does he take that? Does he struggle because there's more pressure on him, or does he thrive? If he thrives, they've got enough around him. And T. Lou's a pretty good coach. They got a really good staff with Chaunce and Kenny Atkinson. I think they can they could still win it. But if Paul George is up and down, if he struggles in any of these games coming up, then no, they don't have a shot.
Yeah. Dave, great stuff as always. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes today.
Thank you, bud.
Yep, you got it, guys. Take care.
Dave Pasch, ESPN broadcaster, play-by-play voice of the Arizona Cardinals. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com. Coming up next, we obviously don't know the status of Chris Paul. We're also in the dark about Larry Fitzgerald, but a former teammate of his thinks he knows what's up. We'll tell you what he said next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
As good as Devin Booker is, as good as Ayton has been, as good as this team has played, whether it's Bridges defensively, running the floor, you'd have to have someone that's going to facilitate to get the ball to people on time, on target, initiate the fast break, make that advance pass. But more importantly, when things go a little south, you need someone that can bring that group together and say, all right, let's get to the next play. It's one stop. It's one good offensive possession. All right, at the end of a game, he's going to make the right play. So there's no replacement for Chris Paul. He's one of those unreplaceable players, and it has as much to do with his leadership as to do with his play on the floor.
That's basketball analyst, former coach Seth Greenberg on ESPN's airwaves this morning. Yeah, there is no replacement for Chris Paul. Again, silver lining warning.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking for a postseason long replacement for Chris Paul. It's probably, as it shapes up,
yep.
We're looking at a game, maybe two. The Suns did release a statement today, Bick, within the hour, that the next update on Chris Paul would not come until Saturday, the 19th of June, which potentially could be one day before the beginning of the Western Conference Finals. It could be 3 days before the beginning, depending on what happens, of course, in that Clippers-Jazz series.
Wow. So what you're telling me is everyone is going to be on pins and needles for the next few days.
Pretty
fabulous.
Like, we were going to be there anyway.
Just great. And we thought this was going to be a nice, quiet week for our basketball team to mend and heal and prepare.
Not so. The other thing that continues is I shudder to even call it Fitzwatch anymore. It's June 16th, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still no confirmation on what Larry Fitzgerald is going to do with his football future, whether it's retirement, whether it's signing on with another team, whether it's coming back for one more run at it with the Arizona Cardinals. And we haven't heard a lot on that. In fact, it hasn't been talked about much in the last month or so. But now it's bubbling up again because of former Cardinal Patrick Peterson. Once again, Pat P., giving us content through his All Things Covered podcast.
All right.
And Larry Fitzgerald was a subject of discussion on the podcast with Brian McFadden. And kind of thesis statement here. It's short, but this is what Patrick Peterson believes.
Hey, if he ain't retired yet, he ain't going to retire.
If he ain't retired yet, he's not going to retire. Now, keep in mind, Patrick Peterson's close friends with Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
He's got lots of close friends. So when he speaks to Larry Fitzgerald, I think it's not just guessing. But where is he going to play football?
All right.
And when is he going to play football?
He's got some thoughts on that, too, does Patrick Peterson.
So you're saying either he plays with Arizona or he don't play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I could see him going to Tampa, too. One of the two teams. Yeah.
They definitely don't have no room for him. What?
But listen, at the end of the day, what Larry wants is a championship. Period. And if you look at his, last year, I think he played, he missed a couple games. I think obviously it was one of his lowest, play counts in his career.
Yeah.
But Larry understands the position that he's in right now. He's not going to go out there and give you 40, 50 plays a game. He'll be in year 17. He understands he could probably go out there and give you a good 20 at least. And, why not it be with a system that you already know and Bruce Arians, or come back to Arizona to help, if they able to make the run, help those guys make a push in the playoffs.
See, we've discussed what Patrick Peterson brought up there, the Tampa Bay possibility. It's been out there. And you heard Bryant McFadden's reaction. They don't have any room for him there. If he goes there, and again, holding that up against what Patrick Peterson said, what Larry Fitzgerald wants more than anything is a championship. The fact of the matter is, and I don't mean any disrespect to Larry Fitzgerald, I would never think of doing such a thing. If he went to Tampa Bay, he'd be the fifth receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find 20 plays for a fifth receiver in an offense if winning is necessarily your main goal, which it should be?
Later on in the podcast, Patrick Peterson also brought up and furthered one of the most ridiculous lines of thinking I've ever heard, and that is Larry Fitzgerald assuming the role of tight end. Larry Fitzgerald does not want to block defensive linemen in year 17 of his career. I can guarantee you that.
You want to hear what he said on that?
If I have to.
I feel like, obviously he won't be a down tight end, but, the Cardinals don't have no tight end, so if they, I think he'll be and he won't be used as a tight end, but he'll be a tight end body type with those mismatches that he, such as he did, when BA got here, moving him into the slot, moving him around a little bit, motioning him here. Larry's a great blocker too.
Yes, he is. He's always been a
blocker. So
yeah,
and just having that presence in the room is can definitely go a long way. So. I'm just like you. I guess we're just all going to have to wait and see what happens in the next couple of months.
Yeah, he tempered it, and I agree with part of what Patrick Peterson said, but the way he described it, they could use him as a tight end. Now, he wouldn't be a down tight end, and they wouldn't use him as a tight end. They'd move him around in the slot. Well, what's different between that and what they've been doing with Larry Fitzgerald since 2013 when Bruce Arians got here?
Yeah, listen, I don't know what Patrick Peterson is getting at here, because I find myself wanting to disagree with pretty much everything he said there, because Patrick Peterson painted a picture that Larry Fitzgerald is going to go championship hunting. It seems like he's saying that Fitz is going to let the season begin and see who's having the better year, Tampa or Arizona, and then try to hitch a ride on that wagon into a championship ring. That does not sound like something Larry Fitzgerald would do.
I agree with you.
And so,
and hitching is the perfect way to put it.
Yeah. It's a shortcut. And I don't think Larry would ever do that at the end of what has been a textbook career. I do think that Patrick Peterson probably doesn't mind stirring this pot a little bit and keeping this story alive, because the longer this story goes, the harder it is for the Cardinals to put this thing to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute Larry Fitzgerald retires, as I've speculated on, there's a responsibility to join arms with the Cardinals, and what a career it's been for both of us. And I don't think he wants any part of that. And so just this limbo is probably serving some purposes. I just don't buy anything Patrick Peterson is saying there. And I think he's a good source on this. I just think he either doesn't have information or he's just stirring the pot. That's what I believe. Because none of those takes make sense to me. The playing tight end, come on, Patrick.
They call him a tight end, but they wouldn't use him as a tight end.
So you call him, you don't use him as a tight end, and you put him in the game. The other team knows, okay, they're not running the ball because he's not blocking us.
Yeah. One other thing that's popped up in the Larry Fitzgerald discussions is in terms of maybe another location he could play another season of NFL football. Tampa Bay has been thrown out there. Arizona's been thrown out there. His connection to Minnesota. That's where Patrick Peterson plays now. Any word on Fitz going to Minnesota?
Have you heard any Viking buzz associated with Larry Fitzgerald?
No.
You know, he used to be a ball boy there.
Yeah, I know.
From Minnesota.
I haven't. You know, that'd be interesting, you know, if he would want to come back to Minnesota. But, now, I necessarily don't see that happening. If it was a team that he was going back to, it would be Arizona.
Look, I'm not going to say it's impossible for the Vikings to win a Super Bowl next year, but going back to if Larry Fitzgerald chooses to take the hitchhiking route to a championship, Minnesota can't be very high on that list.
Especially when the Vikings are coming to play the Cardinals this year. Do you think Larry Fitzgerald would ever entertain that?
No.
Being in a Vikings jersey at State Farm Stadium? Come on.
Nope.
Nope.
Coming up next, we're halfway through on this Wednesday. Bick's got your blast straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata coming to you live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.